churches that you hear them talk from time to time. They jump up and they say this, just like we here not long ago, down on the Zoom Street. They said that's where the Holy Ghost fell 49 years ago, talking about the Pentecostal faith that you hear Dr. Perkins and him talk so much about. And then it had a flat time, you see, and now they're trying to get it back together in the Angelus Temple and so forth and so on. Now look, anything will fall out and have a flat time like that. See what I'm talking about? It doesn't make any difference. I'm not interested in none. No question. None of them are religious. Then that's not what I'm trying to teach you. In other words, I'm trying to teach you to come out of all of that confusion. See? And that you be not protected. Because confusion, it means just this. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Carmelites, the Catholics, and the Dunkers, and so forth and so on. Yes, none of them are confusion, just like it was back then. It's out of the Baptists. See? Now, when different ones come here, because here, they say to me, or if you noticed it, you see, they want to talk about something about the Baptists, or something about the Methodists, or something about the Pentecostals. I don't care about none of them. See? They ain't interested. I don't care what they say. See? And for that reason, why, they think that, well, as a person said to me, said, well, you have those people indoctrinated. Yes, they won't. That's why they don't want to stay around. That you have them indoctrinated. That is to say, we can't get up there and preach to them. Why? Because they don't believe nobody but you. See? And they're not going to listen to themselves. There's anything we can teach them because you inoculate them and, you understand, and indoctrinate them with your philosophical concept. Now, that's the way they look at it. But I remember, so they'll say, when the Spirit of God was in such and such a thing, way back yonder, see, until so-and-so went out yonder and done something that they shouldn't do, like Amy McPherson, see, and the bottom fell out of it, see. Well, now, the bottom hasn't fell out of this thing that I'm talking about, see. It's from Pentecost on down, you see. And if every last one, nobody, not first to first, from nowhere, comes into this school and understand what I'm talking about and leave. Can't go. Why can't you go? There ain't nowhere to go. Ain't that right? And I'm not afraid of it either. I'm not trying to certify and do like the Catholics to do. Tell you not to go here and not to go there, not the Baptist, the Methodist, the President. Tell you, don't go nowhere else. This is your church, your father. I ain't talking about it. Ain't interested in it. Go away and watch them. Come back and get ready. It's all right with me. Do you understand? You better go somewhere. I'll tell you right now, if you ain't sure and how you ain't one of them seats, you can't stay here. You have to go somewhere else. You can't stay here. That's all there is to it. If you're pure and humble. And you're really looking for the truth. Do you understand? They're respected and regardless of men's theological opinions and ideas and all. You stay. Never had one. And don't let every step there. Yeah, we've had some come and go as what says come and go goes. Do you understand? But if ever get them scales knocked off, see what I'm talking about? There won't be no going, because there ain't no right to go. Who's that right? I've even gone out and wanted to visit other places. And then all going to take them along with me. Been here since we've been here in California. And way back down years ago, I had problems with them. Let's go. And it's like, I don't want to be bothered. You can go if you want to. I ain't going. They wouldn't even go with me. That's right. The same thing is nothing. Well, I need my rest. Can't even go. Well, how do you ever expect to get any association? I say so. Well, if that's the way you have to get it. Don't you know you got to get somebody over here? Well, listen. If they want to know the truth, then let them come on over here like I can. Ain't nothing I can do. See what I'm talking about? Can't even get them out there at all. Now that's the difference. See? Now I've tried to show you these correlations through here. Now, let's go back. And the reason why I brought all of this up here, was to show you that Noah's Ark 120 years in the building. move on down to the prophet and show you the Christ. See? And to take Israel and bring her out of Egypt. See? The 2-day journey out to the Red Sea. See? And then that third day, in that cloud, she escaped on through that Red Sea, the 300th part of it. Show you the body of Christ. And I showed you that 300 over there, the 2 days and the 300. You notice that? And I went on back there to show you that 300, how it correlated with what the devil was doing there. Now what I'm aiming at, see, is this. Is to show you that the true people of God, them that do want to be saved, are not fooling around with nobody's physical church on earth because of this declaration, declarations and glory and all them different kind of things. And Dr. Gross knows, I had a lot of trouble. The one reason why I said too awful much about this chart being painted over. And I sat right off there in the floor today and looked at it. And I said, well, I hope I didn't have the trouble with it that I had before. Because when we painted it over and it was in its glory and beauty, people started standing around looking at it and said, oh, that picture up there, that sure is great. Now, this is pretty over here. Oh, my. Ain't this beautiful? That ain't why I'm happy. I couldn't tell you that's why I'm looking at the picture. You see what I mean? So when we made the chart, I don't care too much about the art. I don't care, and if you notice the faces of them, ain't got no eyes in the whole house, thing they say. You know what I'm talking about? No one to be true, that's not a man. See what I'm talking about? And so this man that made this thing, he was a pretty good in art, see? And I did a long time. They had to get used to that thing before I could tell anything much about it, see? The correlations and so forth and so on. See? Now, to go back to that art, 427 years after God, after God had created the heaven and earth, 1656. Do you keep your eyes on these 56 and 30 years and that, and you've got 16. See that? 26. See it up here? See? All this things mean something. You see that now? Well, I bet he won't ask, and I just wanted to show it because I was on the run. But 1656, that was when A.M., that was when the flood was. Now, Noah built that ark. It was 120 years in building. Years. If you take that 126, in other words, you begin to build in 1536 A.M. And that was the end of that age. And now, in 1656, now watch what I'm fixing to say. Build that ark of faith. Now, 427 years after the flood, God made this promise. Abraham. See? This 427, yeah, this 1656 A.M. is 2348 B.C. Now that's what you see down here on this chart. Now, because this would be 4004. So now he has seen this vision of this creation up here. Right here. That's the reason why we even tried to fix it up around here so he could see that Moses saw this vision of the creation of heaven and earth. You see, in 1491. And to take it one day with the Lord, see, it would be 4,000 years. See, when the sun came in there. Now, do you see that now? And in the early 2000, he's raising up this Adam and Eve. Or that real building, sure enough building of that temple, will be in the second Adam, in the second Eve, which is Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. Now, God has made that promise for one to Abraham. Those that are to be lively stones in that building. And we are being built up a house now. Right now. Through the Holy Spirit being incarnated in us. I mean tonight. See, right now. That real temple is going up. Right now. And when those who God for you say, are all in it, and then shall the end come. I'll tell you that way. When this time, and that's the whole thing, all of them lies of stones that being put together, growing, as Paul said, into a holy temple in the Lord. Wherefore, for a habitation of God through the Spirit, when it's complete, then everything comes to an end. Do you understand now, Larry? Now then, the promise that God made to Abraham, I'm trying to talk so you can understand it tonight. The promise that God made to Adam back then, and come on down and made the promise to Abraham 427 years after the flood. Now, if you would correct that chronology, see, then we put them 3 years after it had to be 430. See? But we'll just go ahead on so that you can look it up in your book and catch the right thing, see? And you won't get lost. See, the promise that God made to Abraham back then, which was the promise of the Redeemer from Adam to Moses, skipping over the head now, of Abraham and Noah, and from Abraham to Moses, see, which means clear on up to Christ, because the Mosaic law come on up to Christ. You understand? But God confirmed the covenant that he made with Abraham, see, by making him a promise like this, that in his seed, which is Christ, he would bless all of the families of the earth. Now, I want you to see, I have been standing around telling you that, but I want you to see that it is in the Bible. So I want you to read where that the covenant was made with Abraham before he was circumcised. See? In the book, I want you to read. That's right.
This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and I speak after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. Then I'm over here in the 24th verse. And Abraham was 99 years and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin.
Now Abraham was 99. Years when he was circumcised in the foreskin of his flesh. Now Ishmael was already born.
And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the self same day.
Now you see, Ishmael was born 13 years old, not 8 days, but 13. So Abraham, see, he was circumcised, see, when he was 99 years old. And Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised. Now that's him and his father. All right, read.
In the self-same day was Abraham circumcised.
Now see, that self-same day Abraham was circumcised.
And Ishmael his son.
So you see, he was not circumcised when Ishmael was born. Now you see, when you just tell somebody these things, they don't think that it's possible to overlook all of these things in the book. You get it now? And why is it that I didn't know something about it? Now I can go in there and get you the Jewish commentator. And if they put the same thing in there, it's in the that I you to know something about it. Now then, go in there and get you the Jewish commentators. And if they put the same thing in that, it's in the original manuscript, it's got to be the same way. That's the way it is. See? All right, read.
And all the men of his house, born in the house,
mm-hmm.
and bought with money of the strangers, mm-hmm. were circumcised with him.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see that? Can you see where they was or not now? Is it in the book? Now, here's the point. That's why the Apostle Paul over here in Rome, referring back to Abraham, where you often, referring back to Genesis, where you often hear me speak, see, that circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't mean anything. You understand? In the flesh. But circumcision in the heart and instead of in the flesh. That's what it shows. See? And you see that Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised. Which means that coming on down under the law, the Gentiles then, see, not having the law, you understand, but since Abraham was the father, and he was not circumcised at the time, you understand? Then he was afterwards circumcised, that he would, so that he could be the father, just like God made the promise to him, of many nations. So then there had to be some born, that Ishmael had to be born before he was circumcised. Do you understand? And then before the birth of Isaac, then he had to be circumcised. You understand? That he might be the father of both the uncircumcision and the circumcision. Do you see that now? Then coming on down under the dispensation of the law, if the Gentile would, that's why the temple was built that way, with the court of the Gentiles and the court of the Jews in it. So then, since the temple was built that way, the temple was a figure, watch now, was a figure of the seed. Because the temple was not built under Abrahamic regime. Melchizedek was high priest at that time. See? King of Salem, which is in the same place of Jerusalem, which is the ancient name for it. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham while both neither Ishmael or Isaac had been born. Or in other words, while the seed was within his loins. So then, Ishmael being born before he circumcised, and then God had done made this promise to him before either one was born. Do you understand? And now when I come time for Isaac to be born, then God renews the same covenant. See, again. Do you understand? That then when Isaac and Ishmael are born, then comes up this squabble between Hagar, Ishmael's mother, and Sarah, Isaac's mother. And so Sarah said to the Lord that the promise of Isaac would be the seed. And God had caused her to say that. And then therefore, God said, in Isaac, instead of in Ishmael, shall thy seed be. Then you have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, which is the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Not Ishmael. Understand, Ishmael being circumcised after he's born, Abraham being circumcised before Isaac was born, and then Isaac being circumcised 8 days after his birth. What's the thought now? Then that means this, that all that are in the family of God are all the true Israelites, all are circumcised with the circumcision made with our hands, and we're one in that body, the circumcision of the seed, which is Christ. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? And that's what Paul is talking about. And all of his epistles having been made the minister of the Gentiles. Now, look. I want to show you something else about that. Now, please try to get this straight. Now, the promise that was made 427 years after the flood and 430 years before the law. Now, the law didn't just simply go ahead and just rub out the promise. It didn't do that. See what I mean? Or if the law did not take the place of the promise. Now you have, are you listening? You have the covenant that was made with Abraham. You have the covenant that was made with the children of Israel, the first covenant. Then you have the second covenant. Now that's three covenants. You understand? The covenant with Abraham. The covenant, the first covenant with Israel. And then the new covenant with Israel. Do you understand? Now that's three covenants. Then of Abraham's seed, which is Christ, who is also the son of David, as they call it, that he would, another covenant, promised David that he would raise him up and stay upon the throne. You see? That Christ, his son, David's son. And that's why they called Jesus, when he was walking around healing everybody, they called him the son of David. But they asked him a lot of questions. And then he comes back with this question. Why then did David in spirit say? See, I'm giving it to you so you can understand. Why did David say, my Lord, say unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand, until I make thine enemies, I put to. Now that's over in the whole Bible. See what I'm trying to say? That's that over there. Now in this, there's all of those then covenants. Now the new covenant, it could not come up with Israel. And neither could the promise come with Israel. See? Then I said the promise that God made Abraham. See? That couldn't come with that. You understand? And neither could the new covenant that God had made with Israel come of effect until the seed of Abraham, which was of Christ, and the law that was made, the first covenant, had to be fulfilled and moved out of the way so that the promise that God made to Abraham. Now here's the law. Let me like put it down. Now here's the promise. Now the promise comes on over here, see, all over here, and it's a fact. Now, you see, you understand what I'm talking about? In other words, I mean both Jew and Gentile becoming a recipient of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now I'm fixing to get in trouble. But you need to stick down here, boy, because I want everybody to understand what I'm talking about. Now, you see, this Jesus told him before he ascended. Now, you go back to Jerusalem and carry, you stay right there, see, until you receive the promise of the Father there, or until you receive the Holy Spirit. Don't leave that. See? And at the end of that time, 10 days after he ascended, he poured out the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Now the Holy Spirit, can I use you this time? This is good. See, the Holy Spirit in this man, Ty, is his inner man, his outer man, is the veil or is the flesh, over the Holy Spirit that is within Ty, within him. Now the Holy Spirit, see, just like when Jesus was here walking around in the flesh, in the Spirit he was God the Father. See, the flesh, the Son. See, now when we take off the Holy Spirit being in him, this flesh is the veil. That's that veil that they had to go through here. Right, let's stand still, I'll get it. Right in through the veil. Now, every priest, every rabbi and all knows that that's the way that was, isn't that? See, he had to go through that veil on the 10th day. The veil represented the flesh. See? Now, the Holy Spirit, see, to come in here, that's God, see, in this tabernacle. See, that's God in there, see? Now, here we are, right here, see, in body. In spirit, this is where we are, see? So now you can't see the Holy Spirit in this man. See, but when the Holy Spirit that is in him, which is the promise that God has poured out and told them to say that in Jerusalem, not Rome, but Jerusalem. See, now when the fullness of time comes, or at the proper time, just like the day of Pentecost was a day when it was, that they didn't know, but that day it was poured out. Now when the time comes, for this flesh to be changed, the Holy Spirit being in this man, will rend this veil or remove this physical body. Do you understand? And it will immortalize this physical body. But God, or the Holy Spirit, must be in him. Now, how come the Holy Spirit in him? The Holy Spirit is in him because that's the way God has made the promise. If you believe that the seed, which is Christ, that brought that blessing, or brought the Holy Spirit, died and brought the Holy Spirit in him. Now when the flesh is removed, instead of him being, that's true, in physical Jerusalem, he's in the Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, in both body and spirit. Wherever he's in the spirit, he's there now. That's what Paul is talking about in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. You have not come to the mount that might be touched, but you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You understand? You've already got that. Now, you see what I'm talking about? Now, that's the seed of Abraham. That is the salvation of Israel. That's the salvation of Israel. Now, stop again, I want to show you, is this. That whosoever is born of God, don't make no difference who you are. Let me see if I can say this. It's hard to find words that I'm always up against them. I believe in John, Dr. Gross, help me find this over here. Any man be born of God. That's that new birth. That physical birth back there is all over with. You see what I'm talking about? We're through the physical man. And now we're after the inner man. Now, if Christ being the seed, I guess the seed of Abraham, see, to whom the blessing has come, or to whom we have become a recipient of the Holy Spirit. Now when we are born of that, see, you cannot commit sin. Because, why can't you do it? It's because you are born of God. And then what happens? It's because